I should officially welcome back Mrs. Corbo from Florida. Nice to have you in, you know, in America. Back from that foreign country you enjoyed during the winter time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Perek Dalet in Rus. So I hope you all know the story of Rus basically now, right? Rus's husband went away from the land, right? Okay. She left the land. Can you all see? Everybody's okay? Rus's husband, she left Eretz Yisrael with her, with his mother and father and brother in the land when they were in Midian, Moab? In Moab, right? Then they, in Moab, thank you, they married husbands, they married wives. The husbands died, and Naomi lost her husband, the father died. So it's Naomi and the two daughters-in-law. And as we all know, Naomi says, I'm going home, I can't take this anymore. And the daughters-in-law say, we're going with you. And Naomi says, no, you're not. And one of them says, okay, you're right. It's not a good idea, I don't know what I was thinking. And the other one says, okay, I'm staying with you. That was Rus. And Rus stays with Naomi and travels back and returns to the land of Israel. And then she finds she's not really accepted. She's ostracized by all the other Jews for a very, very simple reason. It comes from the land of Moab, right, which is of questionable descent. Okay. When we think about it, though, the story of Rus, what is one of the reasons why we read Rus on Shavuos? We read on Shavuos. So one of the reasons we say is that the story of Rus is a story of Chesed, and you can't have Torah without Chesed. But what's the real reason?
She became a Jew.
And we converted.
Uh-huh.
She accepted the Torah.
She accepted the Torah.
Yeah.
Can you find out about the genealogy of those?
Oh, right. Right. And the story of Rus is really the story of David. How do you know? Look at the very end. The very end. Right? And it's very... What? She was a great-grandmother.
Yes.
Right? And according to us Jews, we believe in matrilineal descent. Okay? That the Jewishness follows the Jewishness of the mother. What? No, for Jewishness, it's matrilineal descent. For Yichus, it's patrilineal. Okay?
Yes.
Right. So look at Pasuk Yud Ches, 1273. The Eilat told those parets. These are the genealogy of 1273, Pasuk Yud Ches. This is the genealogy of Peretz, 1273. Peretz, Holidat Chetzron. The Chetzron, Holidat Ram. The Ram, Holidat Aminadav. The Aminadav, Holidat Nachshon. Right, that's Nachshon, the son of Aminadav. What did Nachshon do, our good friend Nachshon? He jumped into the water. At least according to the Midrash. Good. The Nachshon, Holidat Shalma. The Shalman, Holidat Boaz. Boaz, Holidat Oved. The Oved, Holidat Yishai. The Yishai, Holidat David.
This is over 100 years.
Over many hundreds of years. That genealogy? Yeah, Peretz is whose child? Whose son is Peretz? Whose son is Peretz? No, Peretz is son of?
Yes. Yes.
Of?
Jesse. What?
No, Peretz.
Oh, Peretz is the son of?
No.
Peretz is the son of?
Peretz is the son of?
Naomi.
We're going to talk about this today.
What's his name?
Paris is the son of?
Paris is the son of?
Mm-hmm.
Now these are the
two. I should tell you. Should I tell you?
Yes.
Yeah?
Paris
is the son of Yehuda.
That's
Yehuda.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, you said that? I didn't hear you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I apologize. Paris is the son of Betty. He's the son of Yehuda. Yehud. Okay? Peretz is the son of Yehuda. So then you'll ask me an obvious question. I have to ask you a very obvious question. if Peretz is the son of Yehuda,
why did they start with Yehuda?
Why did they start with, very good. Why don't we start with Yehuda? It should have said, the Eila told us Yehuda. Yehuda holy this Peretz. But Peretz holy this Chazon, etc., etc.
To confuse us.
Just to confuse you, to ask the question. It's like Pesach night, just to make you ask the question.
Right? I would not be
right.
They're talking about Ruth.
Yeah, they're talking about, good.
So the connection to Ruth.
Yep. Very good, fine. But why Peretz? Who is, what I'm asking you is, if you're doing genealogy,
go back a little bit.
You start from the beginning.
Right.
You don't have to start, you want to say Yaakov, no, because Yehuda, you start from the Shevet. What in the world, why do I need to know Peretz? What's the relationship of Peretz here? Mm. Let's make it even stronger. Let's ask the question even stronger. Well, we'll see it in a second. In the end it says, it's like the end. And you're like,
oh, wow.
Right, that's unbelievable. Why is it unbelievable?
Because you have a minion, like,
who's Moabite.
Moabite, sorry.
Correct.
A Moabite, and who's the project?
The correct. The progenitor of David HaMelech of Mashiach is Ruth HaMoaviyah. And, you know, what? And this is a well-known story. It's a very, very well-known story. It was well-known who the progenitors of the family were. Everybody knew the Yichus. Everybody knew where she came from. Everybody knew where David came from. So this is something we read on Shavuos. I mean, first of all, if I was David, would I want everybody to know that my great-great-grandmother was a Moaviyah? Would I have canonized it in Tanakh?
No. And more important, what about the story of Tamar?
Well, we're going to read Tamar today. Tamar.
Was Tamar the mother of Peretz?
Yes.
Peretz.
Let's go back. Puff Peretz Dalid. So what happens? Actually, even better. Let's go back a little bit farther back. 1271. I'm just going to start in the middle of the Perek Gimel. So what happens? Ruth becomes well known to everybody. She's gathering the grain. She's hanging out with Naomi, and Naomi says, "You know what? It's about time for you to get married." Okay. So she says, "I want you to go and get dressed very nicely, and go up to the Goren, go up to the threshing floor where Boaz is hanging out." And appear there. Pasuk Chet. See where it says Chet on 1271. Pasuk Chet on 1271. Vayihi lachatzi halayla, midnight. Vayecherad ha'ish vayilachet. He's like sleeping away. All of a sudden he notices, he feels something's not right. He wakes up. Vihine isha shochevet margalotah. And there's a woman who's lying at his feet, at his ankles. Okay? Who's the woman?
Ruth.
Who does he know? Does he know that?
No.
So there's this woman, interesting, I'm categorizing it this way. There's an unknown woman hidden in the darkness. Vayomer mi'at, he says, who are you?
Yeah.
Atomer, and she says, Anochi Rut Amatecha. I am Rut, Uparasha Kinafecha al Amatcha ki Goel Ata. Want you to marry me? You have to spread your wings on your maidservant because you are a Goel. Vayomer, and he says, Bruchat Lashem Biti, nice job, you should be blessed. Heitat Chasdecha Acharon, I mean Harishon. Your last chesed is greater than your first chesed. What's your last chesed? How old is Boaz at the time? He's an old man. And Ruth is a young girl. He says, you know, you're a good looking girl, even as it says, you're a beautiful girl, you're going to have anybody you want. And you decided you're going to go after the old man because it's the right thing to do. What a chesed. Now, between you and me, I always wondered about this. What do you mean?
Why is it the right thing to do?
Oh, because she's doing it in order for the Goel to redeem and have the son be called after his father's name.
But yeah.
That is the right thing to do. That's the halachically right thing to do. That the husband died without children. But at the same time, I always wonder, because as we're going to see, Ruth is not prime real estate. Ruth is damaged goods in a sense. Mm-hmm. Nobody else is really willing to take Ruth. Mm-hmm. So I always wonder if Ruth had, you know, You don't see that she was getting so many, you know, so many calls for shidduchim. So it's really hard to know. The atah biti al tiri, don't worry. Kol asher tomri eset lach, I'll do it. Take care of it. Ki yodea kol shar im ami ki eset chayla. Everybody knows that you're an eset chayla. Very nice. The atah ki amnam, but ki goel anochi. You're right. I'm a goel. V'gam yesh goel karov mimeni. But there's another problem. Problem is, I'm not the closest relative. Somebody else is closer. We have to ask him. Lini alayla v'hinei baboki imgalech tov igael v'im lo yachbos igalech u'gealtich anochi chai Hashem shichvi ad haboker. Stay here until the morning. In the morning, I'm going to take care of it. If he doesn't want to marry you, if he doesn't want to redeem you, I'm going to redeem you. Okay. What?
In
why is the moon bigger?
Yes.
I don't know. That's the Masorah of how it was written. I don't know. I just don't know. Okay. Pavidalad Batishkav Margalotav Ataboker. She slept there until the morning. Batakam Viterim Yakir Ishet Reyev. She gets up at 4 in the morning, before anybody, you know, can see anything basically. Vayomer al yivada kiba ahisha agoren. He says, you know, fascinist. Not such a nice thing that the woman should come into the threshing floor in the middle of the night. People will talk.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, better go. Vayomer, and he says, havi hamitzpachat asher alayech. Hold out the straw you're wearing. Ve'echaziba vatochas chiholzen. Vayamar sheish se'arim vayashet aleha vayavo ha'ir. And he gives her some grain, and it comes into the city. She tells Vatamra mi atviti, very interesting language. Who are you? Vatagid la id kol asher asa la'ish, and Ruth told the ami. Vatamra, she says, sheish asher arim ha'ila natanli ki amar elai al tavoi rekam al chamotech. You shouldn't go home empty-handed. Okay. Vatamra, she says, shvi biti ad asher kedin echi pol adavar. Just wait. Ki lo yishko ta'ish ki im kila hadavar hayom. But I want to point out, it's just a very interesting aspect of the story. Why doesn't Ruth confront Boaz in the middle of the day? Why does she have to go there in the middle of the night? Why does Naomi want Ruth to appear mysteriously and to startle him out of his sleep?
Well, one reason is that nobody would see it, so needed to embarrass him or her.
Or
by startling somebody, you're going to get the first imprint. The person doesn't have time to think or to rebuff her or to rebuke her. Or whatever he's going to say might be the first words out of his mouth.
Or she has him in an uncomfortable position.
For sure.
Why?
Yeah.
What happens if she decides, no, I don't feel like leaving at 4 in the morning. I'm going to leave at 7.
People are
talking. Yam, 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 yam. Right? The walls have ears, do they not?
So that nobody would see her going in, but everybody would see her going in.
Right, nobody saw her going in, hey! Right, well.
Could it happen nowadays?
Could it happen, what happen nowadays? So Gemara says, interestingly, that Boaz used incredible restraint to restrain himself. Here, you know, it was not very common that single girls and single men ended up at the threshing floor alone.
Yeah, but he was in the baby.
And therefore?
It was no Viagra.
I'm not going there.
Yeah, well, Tony Randall became a father in the 70s.
Tony Randall became a father in the 70s.
The first time. He died.
He died.
He died
today. Tony Randall.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what they say, right? The boys didn't last very long. So, again, so maybe she sent her there in the middle of the night. You have a choice, Boaz. We can do this the right way, or we can do this the wrong way. So I've been waiting until now for you to stand up and do it the right way. So obviously you were waiting for I'm waiting for nothing, because you're not going to do it on your own. So I'm going to give you a little nudge. Right, here I am. Now one gets a sense, interestingly enough, that what does Naomi want to happen?
She wants him to marry.
When?
Immediately.
When?
As soon as possible.
When?
When she gets pregnant.
Why does Naomi want to happen? Remember, Naomi sends Ruth to the threshing floor. Look what she says. Look what Naomi says. Naomi goes to the threshing floor and she says, go get dressed and anoint yourself and put on your good dress. Don't tell anybody. Wait till everybody's asleep. And then all of a sudden, wake them up and go, Boaz, I'm here.
Is that right?
They're alone? Isn't that a reasonable expectation? All of a sudden she shows up in his bed at the middle of the night?
Yes.
She's sleeping at his feet in his bed.
There.
What's the problem? Which, you know, Naomi doesn't realize. What's the problem? Ruth is just too sneaky. She can't handle it. Ruth is too good of a girl. You tell a girl like that, go out, you know, I want you to, you know, show up in his bed in the middle of the night. So what is she? Where is she? It's fine, she can't disobey her mother-in-law, so where is she? She's lying at his feet. Yeah. That's not what I meant!
She didn't know how to, but she told him to lie at his feet.
She's been married.
She's been married, no, but she couldn't do it. She told him to lie at his feet, she said?
No, I thought she
did. Yeah, she didn't know what to do.
It says, Ubat v'gilit margilotav v'shachavt. Uncover his feet and lie down.
Right. Uncover his feet and lie down.
What does that mean?
Well, I'm covering his feet.
Hold on, let me see. I don't think so. One second. Hold on.
That's right. Well, was that right to send her out to get my dad?
Wait a second. Did you leave Margulo,
sir? It wasn't until
No, it was not. It was not, which makes what she did. I mean, the morals and the values of the time were. What do you mean? Praiseworthy what she did? Praiseworthy that she went and lied in his bed? That was appropriate?
No, because she lets get her mother-in-law praised. No, it never, ever occurred to me to make an inquest on why did she do it and how did she do it.
Uh-huh.
Why is that so? When I spoke to her, this is 2004, when we have to suspect sex and...
No. I think she wants her to marry him. That he wants him to marry her that night.
He wants Yibum.
Not, you know, illicit whatever.
Okay.
Marriage.
Okay.
That's what he wants.
Marriage because
so
he has a mistress.
You don't think that's clear?
Yes.
Correct. But, I mean, isn't it a little interesting to do it in that way? Why wouldn't you, you know, send him a letter? Dear Boaz, maybe you should get married. Let me ask you this question. How would you feel?
What did she say?
She said when I sent a letter, she said the post office was closed. I mean, don't get me wrong, this is Roberg, but this is, you know, this is something that you would see more in 2004 than you know, a thousand and before.
That's what it is.
You know?
But it is, we think we have to, the values and the things that we do today, it has to sit there also.
I agree, absolutely not, which means when you see something that you would see in, you know, that if you saw this on a TV show, you would say, oh, you know, that's a soap opera. She gets into his bed, finished. Right? But to see that, you know, to see that in that time, it should shock you.
Yes.
What was Naomi's intention?
What was Naomi's intention?
Yeah. What
was Naomi's intention?
To marry Boaz.
No, I don't know.
She wasn't married.
She had to marry.
What is that? What was Naomi's intention?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
What was he taking care of?
He was taking care of the. Yes, it was. Well, it was her fields. His fields. It was unclear whose fields.
Yeah, he was taking care of.
Okay. Yeah. The fields are not. The money's not the problem.
Why
was she not?
What was Naomi's agenda? What did Naomi want?
Why didn't she seduce him?
What, Naomi?
Yes.
She's an old lady. She wants her daughter-in-law to have children. She says, I'm not having any more kids. She's cared mostly about progeny. She wants... Right. She wants Aniklas. Well said.
So,
what did she expect to happen when she sent Ruth?
Excuse me.
How do you know what she expected?
But it wouldn't be her Anika.
What?
It wouldn't be her Anika.
It was her daughter.
Yeah,
daughter.
Whatever you can get, you take. You know?
Because she said specifically get you.
No, even more than that. What did she say afterwards? Naomi, Ruth comes home. And what does Naomi say? What does Naomi say? Ruth comes home that morning, and what does Naomi say? No, no. What does she say?
Wait.
Specifically.
Be calm.
Before then.
What about that?
Nope.
She told her all the men had done to her.
She wants to know what's going on with you.
What does she say? Interesting language. And maybe I'm reading it too much. I don't see anybody else says it. What does she say? Before then. No. Before then. Before then. Pasuk Tet Zayin. Vatavo el chamota. She comes to her mother-in-law, Vatomer, and the mother-in-law says, Mi'at BT.
Maybe she's married.
Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? What does that mean, who are you?
Are you Ruth or Mrs. Boaz?
Correct. What happened? But meaning, when she asks, what happened, she asks it in a certain way. How does Oscar translate it? Mi'at BT?
Yes.
What? Nicely.
How do you think stand with you, my daughter?
Right. How do you think, where are you?
16, line 16.
How do things stand with you, my daughter? Right. Meaning, what is she asking? How do things stand? She's asking it, Mi'at, who are you? Meaning what? Are you Mrs. Boaz or are you not?
Right.
Meaning, why did she send her in the first place?
To become
right. Mrs. Boaz.
So she wants to know if she was successful.
Correct. And she hears, and what's the news that she gets? Even better. I gave her the best of all worlds. Not only did he say he's going to take care of it, he says he's going to take care of it in public. Naomi thought that the only way to achieve her goal would be to achieve it
privately.
If I can't get it in public, I'll get it in private. If he won't do it, if he can't act like, you know, if he can't stand up like a man and do what he's got to do, we'll do it another way. You know, Ruth is a beautiful girl. The Ibn Ezra says, it's interesting that Boaz says, he says to her, you know, it's such a chesed that you didn't marry a young man. Why? He says, because Ruth was exceptionally beautiful. So you take a beautiful girl, she's all dressed up, she, you know, anointed herself, she smells nice. You know, the threshing floor, there isn't much going on over there. It's pretty lonely. Threshing all summer long. You know? What do you expect to happen? And it's an appropriate thing. So he says, I'm not going to do it. And so it's interesting. She's not warm, but interesting. But she says, I'm going to get what I want. I'm going to get what needs to be done, however it needs to be done. And Boaz says, no. We'll do it. But we'll do it in the right way. We'll do it in the appropriate way. Why did I set you up? Let's turn back. Put your little marker over here so we can turn back to 1273. Put your little marker and go back to 208. Could be. Or she didn't care. 208.
She wasn't doing anything. So we needed a push. Yeah.
Sometimes men need a puss.
That's true.
Yeah. It was at that time. Well, I'm not going to do it in depth, but we're going to go through the story. Vayered Yehuda me'et Echav. Yehuda descended from his brothers. Vayet ad ish adulami ushmo Chira. And he found this guy named Chira. Vayar sham Yehuda bat ish Kena'ani ushmo Shua. Vayikacher vayavoyle. He found the daughter of this Kena'anite named Shua. And he married Bat Shua. Batar Batelid Ben, Vayikrat Shmo Er. He had a son named Er. Batar Or Batelid Ben, Vayikrat Shmo Onan. And another child named Onan. Now, it's interesting, by the way. What does it mean, Vayered Yehuda Me'et Echav? Somehow, Yehuda drifted away from his family. And remember, this is a story after the sale of Yosef. There's tremendous pain in the household. There's estrangement. There's blame going on. People are pointing fingers, and Yehuda says, you know what? Forget it. The whole family, you know, the family is really in bad shape. He moves away. He departs. He moves away. He sets up a family. He departs from everything he knows and moves to another place and really almost, in a sense, divorces himself of the life that he had known before. Where do we see a very similar story? Don't turn back. I'll read it for you.
No, you'll win.
I'll read it for you. tell him off. That's Elimelech. I'm trying to show there's a tremendous, tremendous amount of parallels between these two stories. Okay? Yehuda left his family. Elimelech also left his family. Okay?
Is this Onanism comes from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Onanism?
Yeah.
I'll have to look that one up.
Yes, it is.
Okay. I'll trust you on that one. Vatosef od vateled den, vatikra shemo sheva, another son, that's Sheva. Vahayabich ziv, belita tauta, and she married him, and she gave birth to Ziv. Vayikach Yehuda isha l'er b'chora, ushma Tamar. Yehuda found a wife for his son. Now, how many years is this? You don't realize. This is years and years. You know, you're talking about, you know, Yehuda went on his way. He was the, you know, the wayward son for years. Vayihi er b'chora Yehuda rab einei Hashem. Er was evil in his eyes, in the eyes of God. We won't say what he did. Right. Marry your brother, and you know that was the way it was done, and you'll have son through him. Onan also knew he wouldn't have sons. So he did not complete intercourse with Tamar, because he did not want Tamar to conceive. God said, you know what? Not interested. Goodbye. Now, isn't it interesting? Yehuda left his family, right? Married off his, had children, married them off, and what happened?
They died.
Elimelech left his family, his country, married off his sons, and they died. Another similarity, another parallel. Vayomer Yehuda leTamar kalashal. So Yehuda says to Tamar, "Svi amana beit avich. You go home. Adigdal shema bani ki amar hen yamud gam hu ki achad." He says, "You know what? This woman is the black widow. I don't have anything to do with her. Come on, go home. Don't call me. I'll call you when I'm ready to marry off my third son." Vatelach Tamar vatesha beit aviha. Tamar went and she sat. Vayirbu ayamim. A while. Vatamat Batshua Eshet Yehuda. Vayinachem Yehuda. And Yehuda with control. Vayal all goes as Eshet. So no, who bechira re'eu ha'adulami timnata. So they all went up and are going to go shepherd. Vayigad l'tamar le'yuar hinei chamich ole timnata lagos tzono. Here's your father-in-law. He's in the neighborhood. Vatasa bigde almanuta mi'aleha. She took her clothing of mourning off. Vatechash bat sha'if vatit alaf. She covered herself with a veil and she wrapped herself up. One second. Just let me check one thing. No. Okay. Vatesha bepetach einayim asher al derech timnata. She sat in the road, the crossroads. Ki ra'ata ki gadal she'la v'hilo nina lo v'isha. What do you know? She's of marriageable age, it's time, and nothing's happening. So, can you imagine, by the way, if every one of our mistakes, even the big ones, every one of us has private things that we don't share with the rest of the world. Can you imagine if it was written in the Chumash?
It's hard to grasp.
Can you imagine, you know, like, if you think for a second, if Yehuda knew when he hired that prostitute that it was going to be recorded forever in the Torah, you think maybe he would have thought twice?
It's really funny when you think of some of these popular politicians and they get fired.
It's amazing. It's an amazing thing.
He's a Sheva. He's from the tribe. Yeah. I mean, he's different from him.
Well, Vayachshevei lezonaki chisapanei. So that's the prostitute. Vayet eleha el haderech. So he turned off. Vayomer hava na avo elayach. You know, you want to engage in some business. He didn't know it was his daughter-in-law.
What
do you give me? I'll give you a sheep. Well, what can you give me as a collateral? What's I supposed to give you? I left my wallet at home. Okay? She became pregnant. Now, what isn't it telling you about this whole event? It's all in the dark. Because how do I know it's all in the dark? How do I know that it's all going on in the dark, pitch black? He never recognizes her. She covered her face the whole time. She never took the veil off. Right. She never put on the light. Meaning the whole thing took place in the dark. Very unusual, very mysterious. You know, why did she do it out in the dark, obviously?
Not to be recognized.
Not to be recognized. She didn't want to be recognized. Again, though, this idea of using the dark
as a cover
to achieve what you believe is the right thing. And why did she...
Same as Ruth.
She was doing this for the right reason.
Yes. Yeah, of course.
She was doing it for the right reason.
Absolutely. Because if the father's not going to give the son, somebody has to redeem her. Okay, you know, in the Torah, it's not permitted according to the Torah, but according to that, the custom of the time, if the son wasn't going to do it, then it was the father's obligation. And if he wasn't going to do it himself, she was going to have him do it on his own. Sounds like?
Why, she couldn't do
sounds
it.
Like?
Now
me. Okay. Yeah.
So in a way, Tamar is a combination of Naomi and Ruth together.
I'm building it up quite well, aren't I?
Yes.
Okay. Or, one second.
But Boaz was, getting back to Boaz was the uncle, right?
Skip to 2:12. Boaz is the uncle, yes.
An uncle
yeah, I mean, if there's no direct, if there's no closer relative, then you move farther and farther beyond, but you extend the cycle.
Taking on the soul of the dead.
Sort of thing, right. Pasuk of Dalet, what do you know? But you have Yudali more Zantatam Arkalatata. The Gandhi Hara Mizunim. She's pregnant. Great news. Remember that girl you can't stand, you want to get rid of? She's actually got pregnant. Yama Yehuda Hotiu Avatisaret. She was a harlot. Here she was. My poor son Shelah has been waiting for her with bated breath, just dying to marry her. He moved safe. She's taken out. She sends a message to her father-in-law. The person who these belong to, that's the guy. Would you happen to know who these things belong to? Now it's interesting. When he says Hotziuha v'tisare, in what capacity is he saying that?
Judge.
Capacity as a judge. Okay? What role does Boaz play? What?
He also is a judge.
Meaning, Yehuda, like Boaz, has the ability to ignore the situation and accomplish his goals and makes the problem go away. Boaz can also make the problem go away. He could push off Ruth. He could, you know, tell him he's not interested. He can ignore her. He could do chalitza.
He's a judge. Because he's a judge.
Yeah. And also, as we're going to see, there's tremendous risk involved. There's a lot of prestige problems involved in marrying Ruth, just like there's a prestige problem for Yehuda. But he says, Vayaki Yehuda vayomer tzadkam yimene. Boaz and Yehuda, the similarities between them, both of them acknowledge their obligations and their responsibilities.
Especially if Tamar's pregnant, he would feel some
responsibility. Okay. Let's just read on. But yeah, she's ready. Alkeinu natzeh she'elabani v'lo yasaf ol b'da'atah. He only lived with her once.
My favorite story.
Only lived with her once, right? And what did we say about Boaz?
Also.
Only lived with her once. So how many similarities did I just list? Right, Ms. Berger, did you get them all down? How many you got? I got a bunch of them, right? I think about how many, let's go through them. We had the leaving of the family, two sons, both sons dying, The woman wanting to be redeemed, the woman willing to do what she needs to do in, under the cover of darkness, using subterfuge to accomplish that.
Both old guys.
Both old guys. That's true. Both old guys. Both of them standing up and accepting the responsibilities in public, in the forum of the court, right? And but there was one more even. And both of them also only, as we see in the Midrash and here, both of them only doing their responsibility at one time, once.
Why is that?
Because I think the point is because once he's achieved his responsibility, once he's done his responsibility, once you know he's continued the progeny and redeemed the family name, then it's not a religious matter anymore. Then it's just my own lust, and that's not what I'm all about.
But Boaz died.
Although, I mean,
Boaz
what?
Died.
Well, it doesn't really say. That's in the Midrash, I think.
Yeah.
That, you know, one second. Let me see if I can find it. Hold on one second.
So does Yehuda take another wife?
I'm pretty sure the Midrash says that he only lived with her once, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's
right.
Heard of that. I don't see it here. Okay, one second.
Oh, there's another similar party.
It says the Imalbim, Al Pi Hashgacha To Harata Tekef. Based on the Hashgacha, she became pregnant immediately. Meaning that he lived with her one time and she immediately became pregnant. Similar to Tamar, to Yehuda and Tamar. Right, it only took one time.
Both,
you know, she got lucky in that way.
Both of them had an opportunity. They both said they could have given to somebody else. In other words, Boaz said, I'm going to look there, maybe a closer relative.
Plenty of money. Yehuda could have given to Shela. Yeah, but he wasn't going to. Interesting. So what happened? Right, there are twins. He believed it. Right, she put the hand on the first one. Right, hand came back in. Very weird way of giving birth. Who are you? You're like a jumping bean. You're, you know, paret is lifrot, means to burst out. Okay, and his name was Peretz. So what is Peretz? Bifrot
is the same
form
as
Rats. No, Bifrot means to burst forth. Yeah, to spread. Right. So, but so then, if that's true, what does Peretz represent? What is Peretz?
Redemption.
Peretz represents, interestingly, you would think Peretz represents the child of an inappropriate relationship. Here she is, in the middle of the night, she's just like a prostitute. That's going to be the progeny of Yehuda? What happened to Shelah? What happened to Shelah? What happened to all those other children? Who follows the family line? Where does Nachshon come from?
Peretz.
What about the other family? What about the... No. The son of Tamar becomes the progeny later on. So let's go back to Ruth. All right, 15 minutes, okay. Back to you.
And the other brother, the other twin,
no.
Wasn't important enough to go any further with
what?
It?
What? We don't really hear about the other twin.
That's what I'm
saying. I don't know.
It wasn't important to
them. I don't know. Look what they say. Skip to Pasuk Yud Aleph. No, one side. Let's go back. I have to go back. Perek Dalet. Boaz Allah Hashar. Boaz went to the court. Hashar means he went to the city clerk. Vayeshev Sham Bihineha Goel Over. Poor guy. Doesn't know what's gonna hit him. He's walking by. Asher Diver Boaz, Vayamar Sur Shiva Po Ploni Almoni, Vyasa Vayeshev. Hey you, Ploni Almoni, that's not his real name. Ploni Almoni means John Doe.
Yeah.
Put out. Got a minion? Sit down. The field that Naomi had, she sold. And I said, I'm going to tell you, K'nei neged hayoshvim v'neged z'knei imi, im k'igal g'al, v'im lo y'gal ha'gidalim, v'edah ki'in zulatcha l'g'ol, v'anochi acharecha. He says, tell me, I tell you what. Do you want the field? Or don't you want the field? If you want the field, great, buy it, and if not, I want the field. So what does he say?
But.
A young man, that is great. I don't here you go. The field?
I'm in. Okay.
I'm in. I'll buy it. Vayomer Boaz. Boaz says, but. Vayom kenotcha shadem miyad ne'ami umeyeit mut amoavia. Eshet hameit kanita. L'hakim shem hameit anachla etel. I didn't tell you the second part of the deal. When you buy the field, the woman comes along with the field. Great deal, let's go. Simon and Adam. Vayomer Boaz, Vayomer HaGoel, Lo Uchal Ligali. I cannot do it. Why? Pen Ashchis Es Nachalasi. Lest I imperil my own inheritance. What in the world is the problem?
I can't afford it.
No, he could afford it. The money wasn't the problem. The money he was ready to do. Pen Ashrit Ben Nachalati says...
He married? Maybe he already had a family.
He did. Says Rashi, Nachalati Zari, he says... Ukemo Nachalat Hashem Banim, Zezlatet Pegam Bizari, it's going to put a blemish in my children. Shanae Maris, it says, Lo Yavo Amoni Umo Avi. V'ta'av amoni v'lo amonit. So he says, how can I marry Ruth Amo Aviyah? The Torah says, I'm not allowed.
That is wrong.
Correct, he was wrong. But it's not a matter of right or wrong. Nowadays we know the Psa'ak Halacha. Back then it was a machlokas. Moreover, I don't have the Gemara in front of me. The Gemara tells an extensive story about Shaul and Doeg wondering about the lineage of David HaMelech. And arguing about whether David is really appropriate, is really Jewish or not. Just a tremendous story. So he says, I can't take her. She's a Moabite.
Right, so you couldn't marry
now. He said, and he's saying, you know, what are people going to say?
Yeah.
No one's going to want to marry
her.
What? Who?
No.
Nobody did.
No.
Did it.
Mami
Almoni. And Boaz never did yet. Lest I destroy my inheritance, my nachala. I don't know, I don't have enough faith that this is going to be something that's going to be accepted. So I'm going to go out on a limb and marry this girl, and then you're going to tell me later on that my prodigy, they're not Jewish. Can't do it. So then they do the whole thing. Skip the tet. They do the chalitza. Vayomer Boaz l'zakenim l'chol ha'am. He says to everybody, Atem edim atem hayom ki kaniti et kol asher la'alinelach v'kol asher l'chilyon u'machlon miyad na'ami. You are witnesses that I bought all their stuff. Yud. V'gam et rut ha'moavia eshet machlon kaniti li li'isha l'hakim shein hamet al nachalato. I've also acquired rut ha'moavia to establish the name of her husband. L'ikaret shein ha'amet me'im achiv me'ashar mekomo edim atem hayom. You are witnesses. What about the fear? What about the concern that she's a Moaviyah? What about that concern?
What?
He says, I know the halacha. I'm confident this is not a problem. I'm not worried about what people will say.
But he
says it's
okay. Doesn't
Chalitza
mean that they don't have to marry the wife?
Chalitza is when they don't marry. Yibam is when they do.
Oh,
yes. Pliny Almoni did Chalitza.
Oh.
Yud Aleph. Listen to what they say. This is
when Ruth first got married.
I don't know. Well, it was in Moab. Nobody asked her. Vayomru kol ha'am asher bishar hazkenim edim. Listen to what they all say. Yitain Hashem et ha'isha ha'ba'al betecha k'rachel u'chilaya. They should make her like Rachel and Leah. Asher banush dehem el beit et beit Israel. They both built the house of Israel. Va'ashechayil be'efrata. Were they living in Ephrat? Great. They do good stuff in Ephrat. Ukrash shem b'beit lachem. They live in Ephrat, b'beit lachem. Beautiful, right? Know what they say. Vihi beitcha. Listen what they say. What? Ephrath, yeah. V'hi beitcha kebeit Peretz, asher yalda Tamar liYehuda. Your house should be like the house of Peretz. Here we go again. What? Min hazara asher yitein Hashem lecha min hana'ara hazot. He should be like Peretz. Why like Peretz? Why not be like, I don't know, Binyamin, or whoever, Moshe? Oh, and they pick Peretz? Why Peretz? What's he doing there? Where in the world did that come from?
Because it came from that kind of union.
Ah. Because Peretz also came from a questionable union.
That's what I'm talking about.
And people doubted the lineage of Peretz until what happened later on?
Until
Peretz had Chetron, and Chetron had Ram, and Ram had Aminadav, and Aminadav had Anasha.
But it took a long time.
It wasn't so clear. So he's saying, you're taking a risk now, and a laudable risk that is, in order in investing in this person. And we give you the bracha that she should have the same blessing that your great, 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 great grandfather had. The willingness to do what you think is right, as opposed to the thing that you're afraid of what will happen, what people will say. And that's really what both Ruth and Tamar are really all about.
Yeah.
They do unbelievably inappropriate things.
It turns out okay.
Well, because they believe that it's the right thing to do. And that's the link to parents.
I understand. Everybody thinks what they're doing is the right thing.
One second. Now let's go back. So now we say, why Peretz? Because the progeny of Ruth, the progeny of her children, is Tamar. Ruth is simply following the model that came before her. She read the Chumash. She knows what Tamar did. She does almost exactly the same thing. In a sense. Peretz holidit Chetron, Chetron holidit Ram, Ram in Manadav, Manadav holidit Nachshon, Nachshon holidit Shama, Shama, Shama holidit Boaz, holidit Obed, Obed holidit Yishai, Yishai holidit Avi. It is a very dangerous lesson. But the lesson being, if you always, you're worried about your yichus, and you're worried about what people will say, and you worry about how it's going to look, that doesn't bring Mashiach. Mashiach comes when people make the difficult decisions to stand up and do the right thing. Both Yehuda and Boaz stand up and do the right thing in the face of difficult pressure. In the face of overwhelming pressure, of overburdening pressure.
But they knew the right thing.
Obviously, right. They knew halacha too.
And that is what people nowadays
did. I never once suggested, I'll say it this way.
I think it's right, but that is
not. I'm not sure, would you agree that if Tamar had gone to her rab and said, I want to dress like a prostitute and seduce my father-in-law, he would have said fine?
No.
I'm not sure that would be my suggested first course of action. I would set up a meeting in the family first. But it's so interesting. What does it take to bring Mashiach? So we think, who's Mashiach going to be? The son of a Rosh Yeshiva, the son of a Sion, of a family, of Yichus, of, you know, pure Jew, pure whatever. What brings Mashiach?
Mashiach ben David,
who came from a Gioras of questionable lineage, who came from, and the father also came from, you know, from the story of them. So why do we read on Shavuos? Because sometimes we think, the Jewish people, this exalted legacy, we studied Matan Torah, and we exalt ourselves. I think that sometimes the Kaddish Baruch Hu wants to remind us, don't be so full of yourself. If you really want to receive the Torah, you want to bring it back to Mashiach, it's about standing up and doing the right thing in the face of adversity. Not anything else. And that's much more difficult than it seems. All right, we'll stop here.